Hey everybody, welcome to yet another episode of Rider Club Radio. Jesus.
What?
I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And we've been doing this for a really fucking long time. The 100 episode mark really made me notice that.
I'd like to go 1 week without us stopping and going, damn, there's a lot of these.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. We still haven't done a good one.
Yeah, well, we're still getting there. Little but baby steps, Jeff. Don't rush
it. Yeah, I feel like a baby should have learned how to walk after 2 years. But,
we're one of the slow babies.
Oh, that's true. But, this week we watched Kamen Rider X8 Episode 16, and Animal Sentai Gyojuro Episode 47 right at the fucking end. Only one more episode left.
Scary.
Yeah, real scary. But before we talk about that, I guess we also watched 5, 4, 5, and 6, whatever.
Yeah, well, that's later.
Liam, why don't you tell us what happened in Kamen Rider X8 Episode 16?
Okay, so this episode, Snipe comes in. If you remember, Spencer's Gifts is living at the CR now. She's hanging out in the pit.
And she has made the CR into Spencer's Gifts.
Yeah, she's set up her own store there and everything. And Hiro fights Emu on the roof because he's trying to still take his gashats away so he can't transform and fuck up his brain anymore. And so he lures him up on the roof and then tries to beat him up. And Snipe comes to take Spencer's Gifts away because, I don't know, I guess he likes her. And he wants to... yeah, I guess he's a huge fan of her and he wants to keep her around the place.
I guess it's supposed to be like... He's still a good person inside, so he wants to protect her or whatever. But it just seems a little creepy because she's like a 17-year-old girl.
I think she's 18, exactly.
Well, that makes it better, I guess.
A little better. I mean, Snipe's 29, so... Yeah, it's a little weird, but...
Makes it legal, I guess.
What's Snipe's age divided by 2? 16 plus 7 is 23. No, he cannot date an 18-year-old. That's not...
I don't think that's how the law works.
it's not the law. It's just what's not weird.
It's 23, the law of human decency.
23 is the youngest he can date. 18 is weird.
So if you're like 80, you can only date somebody who's half your age plus 7?
Or up.
So you could date a 47-year-old if you're 80.
You could date a 47-year-old, yes.
Your rules are bunk, sir.
The rules stop working past like 30. They're assuming in your 30s...
Why does everything stop working past 30? Right, fellas?
Your brain, your dick, it all just starts shutting down one by one.
Am I right or am I right, flaccid fellas?
Are we talking about a Kamen Rider show?
I guess. I thought this was the flaccid dick cast.
That's next week. Okay. As what always happens with X8, there's a fight going on between two characters, and then 16 other characters decide they want in. So,
dude, it's a fun fight scene. You gotta be part of it.
Yeah, General Gunn appears and...
You know who wasn't part of it? Kiria.
Wow. Where was he this episode?
I don't know. He must have been off having a nice cheeseburger. hell!
General Gunn appears and...
General
Gunn guy and Dan appear, and they start fucking shit up, and Dan is trying to kill Emu, but then Parrot appears and says, no, Dan, you can't kill Emu.
Before this, we learn that General Gunn guy is protecting Emu because he... Nico, who we learn is N later, spoilers. Nico hates Emu because of petty bullshit that totally ruined any interest in her character I had.
Way back in 2010, I really wish if they had made her a little older and made her an ex-girlfriend, that would have been 10 times more interesting.
Yeah.
But as it is now, back in 2010, there was a video game tournament where they were playing Tekken 7 somehow, even though Tekken 7 came out in 2015, but who gives a shit? They're playing Tekken 7 and she loses, and that's it. That's why she hates Emu so much. She lost to him at Tekken 7 at this tournament a long time ago. So she's like, he's her ultimate rival.
Yeah, and so the Bugster wants to protect Emu because she wants Emu to die. Because he beat her at a video game.
And if he wins, she doesn't want to see him win, so that's why he misses all the time. But him winning would be beating the Bugster and curing her. So the Bugster wants Emu to win, which would stress her out so hard that it would make the Bugster stronger, but him winning would be him destroying the Bugster. So what was his plan?
I don't know. His plan was to fucking... I don't know, Liam. to jump ahead a little bit, Parod is like, hey, Emu, let's fucking fight. And Emu's like, well, I gotta be in this fight scene somehow, so all right. And he splits into two Emus, and Parod beats the shit out of him. He beats the shit out of both of them, because he's the best, and no one can deal with it.
Because he's level 50, and no one else is even close. But he doesn't want to kill Emu just yet.
The closest level is level 10.
Yeah.
Which is just two fucking level 5s.
Well, no, it's level 20, right? He's level 20. XX, yeah.
Look, suck a dick. It's two level 10s.
Yeah, so he's level 20 totally. So he doesn't want to kill Emu yet, because I'm sure it's because the bugster in him is so strong that he wants to let it grow and see how cool it'll be. He's excited, and he likes fighting Emu. He wants to have fun. So he doesn't want to kill Emu, he just wants to kick his ass, which I guess is good, because, well, we'll get to that later.
Did you just have a seizure?
Yeah, I'm having a stroke on this podcast.
Jesus.
So, Emu convinces Snipe, he says, Snipe, listen, you have to beat General Gun Guy. I can't beat General Gun Guy, because if I beat him, I can't beat him, everything misses. It's like I'm playing Morrowind, it's just, I hit him and it says it misses. So Snipe comes up and he says, okay, I'll do it. So that he goes to fight General Gun Guy, and just like, you know, X8, everybody joins in. Every fucking character joins in on this fight, and they all have a big-ass fight. And Emu gets his ass beat by Parod, but Gun Guy also gets his ass beat by Parod, because he gets in Parod's way when they're fighting, and then Parod is sick of him and he blows him up. So it cures Spencer's gifts, and everybody splits up, and all is well, and Snipe decides to, I guess, just keep living with Spencer's gifts. That's just the end. And they're like, yeah.
Also, your boy Hero loses all of his gashats.
Yeah! Dan takes the gashats. Oh,
yeah,
shit.
He's fucked.
Oh, well. Fuck that guy.
Liam.
What?
What did you think of this episode of Kamen Rider X-Aid?
I don't like saying this about X-Aid, but
I didn't actually like it that much.
Yeah, it's X-Aid, it's been a good show from the start, but the flaws that it has are starting to get more and more annoying as it goes on. They're starting to get more and more apparent and more irritating. Like I said, I'm so fucking sick of when they have a perfectly quaint fight scene between two characters and then everyone's gotta join in, and then they kick the main character's asses, and then they have the main character on the ground. They're like, oh, we could kill you, brunette. And then they leave. And this happens.
It's a little old.
This has been happening since the beginning of the show. As long as Dan's been around, he does it every time he appears. He kicks everyone's ass, and then he just leaves for no reason. And he doesn't need to be there.
He was completely superfluous.
They could end the fight any other way. Whatever. It bugs me. It bugs
me. Maybe I'm
me.
A giant, like, horrible misogynist sexist or whatever. But okay. What's with all the female characters in the show being terrible? What is
the
purpose?
Poppy and Spencer's gift. Spencer, like, yeah. I really think she could have been. They make her so interesting when she starts. She's like, oh, I'm this mysterious girl. I hate the main character. And they hide her reason for hating him for so long. And then the reason is that she lost at Tekken 7 against him once.
And it's supposed to be funny, right? There's that reveal where, like, Poppy as Asuna is like, that's it? And you as an audience member are supposed to be like, ho, 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 hee, 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 that's silly. But really, as an audience member, you're like, you've been hyping this up for like 4 fucking episodes.
Yeah, Poppy goes, that's it, and then at the same time I go, that's it?
Yeah.
Seriously, I sympathize with Poppy, what the fuck is this?
Also, if you like Poppy, you're worse than Hitler. I want you to know that, viewer.
You're Hitler and Mussolini rolled together.
She is the worst, and so are you.
This is the one time on the show when I've sympathized with her. Yeah. When she said, that's it. I just think that's such a wasted opportunity. And she's going to stick around, too. Her character's
the worst.
We know everything about her now. Like, all the mystery's gone, and we know about her. It's time for her to leave. Nope, she's going to live with Snipe. Because every Kamen Rider show has to have some sort of weird living condition. I don't know what the fuck it is. It happens in Fize this week, and it happens in X-Aid this week. People live together for no reason.
This episode was not very good.
It was a weaker episode, I thought. And also,
I hate Spencer's gifts.
I fucking hate Spencer's
Poppy.
Gifts. I hate Poppy. I'm starting not to like Snipe.
Yeah, true. That's the funny part, is Asuna is actually alright. Like, if she was just a regular fucking nurse, imagine that. Imagine, like, if the doctor had a nurse, and they were, like, a team, and they worked together on equal grounds, and they were, like... Well, one of them was a Kamen Rider, and the other was a female protagonist, so obviously not a Kamen Rider. But imagine that if she was just, like, she cared about people, and she wanted to help them, and this crazy new shit happened, where, like, there's video game monsters inside your bloodstream, and... She's like, well, I have to do something to stop this, so I'm going to put my all into it. Because here's my reason. Here's my background story.
Mm-hmm.
But no, she's a fucking dancing minigame character. Fuck you.
Also, in this episode, the plot doesn't make sense. General Gunman's plan makes zero sense. He's trying to make Emu win, but that would mean he would have to die. So what the fuck is he trying to do? It's a very poorly thought out episode. It doesn't hold up to even the slightest bit of scrutiny.
No. I don't know what the purpose of this episode was.
I'm starting to... I don't know. It's maybe to fill time because there's 50 whole episodes. But I'm starting to notice a thing. And this isn't just X-Aid. This is Kamen Rider in general these past few years. Is that the writers have no life outside of being writers. They don't have hobbies or jobs or anything like that. That have nothing to do... Like... X-Aid's a doctor.
X-Aid's a doctor, but he's a doctor specializing in killing video game monsters.
He's a rider doctor. Drive was a cop, but he was a rider cop. Like every,
but Drive skirts around that in all this, the extraneous material where he does regular cop shit.
Yeah, Drive was a good show, but I'm just saying they don't feel like real people as much as the older shows. Like if you look at a show like Kuga, right? What's Kuga? He's trying to learn 2,000 skills. He helps out at his uncle's cafe. He likes to travel. There's three things. Nothing to do with being a writer, but they all inform his character and make him more fun to watch. No, modern writers don't really have stuff like that anymore, and it weirds me out.
Nobody gives a shit about regular people, Liam.
That's what art is about. It's gotta be about humans. It's gotta be about the human experience.
Hey, Star Trek is art, and it's not all about humans. It's about Vulcans.
You know what I mean. Fucking bitch-ass.
I know what you mean.
Yes, you know what I mean. Vulcans are people in a way. You know what I'm saying? Characters.
Yeah, you can't say Vulcans aren't people, you fucking speciest.
Fucking Vulcans are subhuman.
Oh my god.
They got pointy ears. I hate them for it.
There are races in, like, tabletop gaming that are called subhuman races, and I'm like, god damn, tabletop creators. That's rough. Anyway.
Back to X-Aid.
This episode was confused. Like, whoever wrote this episode was like, shit, I got a deadline by 6. I gotta get this shit together.
It's like, I know it seems like we're being really harsh on this episode. I do like X-Aid, but I feel like all the little irritating things about the show are now bothering me way more because they had a weak episode, and suddenly I noticed them a lot more because the episode kind of sucked. Like, it doesn't have, like, a good driving plot to distract me. No. It was just shit, this episode, so...
I haven't had a good night's sleep in 2 weeks, so I'm just fucking grumpy as hell. I'm being so harsh on it.
This episode was actually really, really good. We just both had terrible weeks, so we're just gonna rip into it real bad.
I like X-Aid a lot, which might be why I'm, like, ripping into this one, because it let me down a little bit.
I was
really excited.
When your son gets straight A's and he brings back a D, and you're like, what the fuck is this, kid?
What did you do?
Yeah, what happened?
I'm gonna have to beat you twice as hard now.
I'm gonna have to deprive you of dinner for 2 weeks.
Oh shit, he's dead. Anyway.
Oh well, he got a D. You knew what he was getting into.
He got a D, so D for dead.
D.
I don't know, man. This episode disappointed me, for sure.
It was
the only interesting part is that our boy Emu became, like, red-eyed for 1 second. But you saw that in the preview, so what's the point?
Now, I have one more thing to... I want to talk about the preview, too. But I have one last thing to say.
Okay.
The one thing I kind of liked about this episode is that they at least provide, like, a soggy, paper-thin explanation for why Parrot doesn't just murder everybody in the room. And it's because he's interested in Emu's Bugster growing stronger, which is a decent enough reason. Like
he wants to play Kamen Rider Chronicle.
Yeah, he wants to keep the game going. He wants to make everything, and that seems within character for him, and it's been set up. So I'm not going to bitch about that. I just
yeah. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it's just, it's that cliche thing of, like, the villain comes and kicks everyone's ass, and he's like, ah, don't you see how strong I am? And then he leaves. But it happens, like, 68 times in this show.
I can kill you, but I'll let you live to suffer.
Because you're so insignificant and definitely won't get stronger to kill me later. I'm gonna knock you out.
You're not worth me killing you.
It's not worth the 10 seconds it would take to just fucking eat your heart. I'll just leave.
Eating hearts comes up later.
What?
Previews. Like, speaking of fucking previews, this is completely unrelated, but I'll forget it by the time we get to the Moshi Moshi Fies section.
Yes.
The preview for this episode, for the last episode of Fies we watched, episode 6, the preview at the end of episode 5 has someone saying, you're going to become a bugster soon. Not a bugster, fuck. I haven't slept in 2 weeks. You're going to become an
Orphanok. Okay, yeah, Orphanok.
You're going to become an Orphanok soon, and no one says it in the fucking episode. No one. Fuck you, Toei.
Don't they say it to the snakeskin jacket man?
No, they don't.
Well, you know what? They portray the sentiment that he's going to become an Orphanok soon. So
I'm going to portray the sentiment at your fucking funeral.
You're gonna be sentimental that I died?
Yeah. I'll be faking it. I'll be portraying it.
Oh.
Because okay. I'm the one who murdered you.
I see, yeah. That's your cover.
And then I ate your fucking heart.
Is that why they found my corpse without a heart?
Yeah. There was no incision mark either. It's a big mystery.
They thought I was just like that. Like,
nobody ever points out that there's no incision mark, but you're supposed to infer, I guess. We'll get to that.
Okay.
But first, why don't we hear some news?
Wait, I thought when you were talking about previews, you wanted to talk about the fucking Burger Panic episode of X8.
Oh, yeah, Burgermon. Everybody's favorite Digimon.
So there is, a friend of mine pointed out that there is an actual honest-to-God Digimon named Burgermon.
You're friends with this man on
yes.
Twitter?
Yes, I am friends with him. Oh
my god. Liam has friends?
I see people sometimes. I leave my apartment occasionally. It's
yeah,
a pretty
me
big
too.
Adventure.
Me too. I go to the grocery store.
Yeah, I mean, I have to.
Eventually, the hearts stop piling up, so...
Every time I leave the apartment, I have to wear one of my belts to feel safe, so that if anyone decides to fuck with me...
I have to carry a briefcase with my double driver in it, just in case.
You gotta wear it around your forehead.
That's the only place it'll fit. No one... Or my giant fucking melon head.
Ugh.
What is the next segment on this program? I've already fucking forgot.
It's the news. It's
okay.
It's Rider, News, Fies, Sentai, Mailbag.
I'll get it before I quit watching Fies, which
all
is
right.
Next week, probably. I think I'm done already.
Wow. We're gonna argue this week again. Okay.
We might not, actually. We'll see.
Okay. Well, okay. If you remember a while ago... There were a bunch of new forms that were going to be in that whole Kamen Rider Genmu Legend Rider whatever YouTube
series.
Yeah,
I can't wait for fucking Legend Rider whatever.
Legend Rider whatever. Pac-Man, Family Stadium, and Xevious. We've already seen them, but this week we got some clear photos of them. It's nothing new, but take a look. They're cool looking. X8 has big Pac-Man punchy gloves.
That
looks cool. Yeah. And they're all like recolors of their level 3, but they do it just enough like... The Doremi Fa Beat has that sort of hat, like a duckbill cap.
Yes.
So, with Family Stadium, it's a baseball cap. They just recolor it to look like a baseball cap, which I thought was quite clever.
Is Family Stadium a baseball game?
Yeah. It's never made it out of Japan, so...
God, the Japanese love baseball.
I know! It's crazy! When I was a kid, I had a little game for my Game Boy called Baseball. Just Baseball for the Game Boy. And you just pick, one side has Mario on it, and one side has Luigi on it, and then all the other players' names are just like Paul and Frank and shit. And you just
Mario
pick
and Luigi's friends, Paul, Frank, and Jim.
Jim, and you just pick a side, and you just fucking play baseball. There's no, you don't unlock anything, you just have a game of baseball, and it's pretty fucking hard. Like, I have it on my, I got it, I still play it occasionally. It's a very hard game.
When I was Check a kid, it. I had this video game called Base Wars, motherfucker.
Was it like
play
baseball?
That.
Was it like
play
baseball with
base
guns?
Wars. It's baseball with robots.
Oh, that's badass.
Baseball's a fun game when you're a young man.
Baseball's pretty cool.
Those days are behind me. I wonder how old people think I actually am at this point with all the fucking old jokes.
Yeah, are we going to throw a number out here ever? Or?
Nah, probably not. Okay. You won't even tell people your last name. And you're telling me to tell them my age?
I've told them my last name. It's Soji. Everyone knows.
Yeah, you're definitely Asian.
Yeah, everyone knows. They don't know. They haven't seen my face. Maybe I'm Asian.
Maybe.
Maybe. You don't know.
Maybe I'm a Native American lady.
Maybe I'm the guy that plays Emu. And I got the spot on the show because I'm such a huge fan.
You sound very different on the program.
Yeah, I put a voice on to sound more like, you know, young.
Yeah, you probably should.
What? Emu's actor is younger than me, actually.
Yeah, everyone on that show is younger than you.
No, Kiri is my age. Kiri's actor is my age.
Well, he's dead.
Well, does that mean I'm going to be dead soon?
Yes. Old age.
Yeah, Kiri died of old
age. Give me some more. His actor was dying of old age is why they killed his character off. Why don't you tell me some more news?
Sure. Okay, so we talk a lot on this podcast about economics of toy sales and things.
Yes.
Turns out, Kamen Rider toy sales went up a little bit in 2016.
Ghost?
Yeah. That's why I'm scared. It's not showing.
You're scared of ghosts?
You know what? I'm scared of Kamen Rider ghosts. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. It wasn't like exponential explosive growth, but it was like very, very slight growth. It was for the first time in a while. Toy sales went up just a tad. I guess they hit rock bottom with Drive.
That's sad.
I mean, you couldn't get any worse than Drive. I remember seeing pictures of toy shelves just stacked with Drive drivers at like 50% off. No one wanted that shit. So I don't know. I liked the icons were cool. And
what
if
they
you
should have done
what
with the Drive driver is they should have recorded Chris Pepler saying like phonetic sounds so that you can program the belt to say literally anything.
Oh my god.
That would have been the hypest shit ever.
There are so many sounds in Japanese though. It would take forever.
Well, he mostly speaks English anyway.
What does that have to
do
with
it? When he yells things.
So you'd make him record English sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you'd have to make him bilingual. You'd have to, like, have him record, all the phonetic English sounds. And then all the Japanese phonetic sounds.
That would take a huge amount of space to store all those noises.
Fun fact.
What?
The voice of all the computers on Star Trek.
Mm.
Majel it's Barrett.
Chris Pepler.
Yeah, Chris Pepler. He's actually much older than he looks. The voice of all the computers is Majel Barrett, who, for Star Trek fans, was the lady that Gene Roddenberry cheated on his wife with and then left his wife for.
Wow, all I knew was that she was Gene Roddenberry's wife. I didn't know that story.
And she was also Nurse Chapel in the original series and Lwaxana Troi in The Next Generation.
Mm.
But she was also the voice of all the fucking computers, right? And before she died, they recorded her voice phonetically, so they have, like, a database so that you can, like, have one of these days they're gonna make it available where you can fucking replace Siri's annoying-ass voice with the Star Trek computer voice.
Ooh, it's the future.
It's the fucking future, man.
We live
Star
in the future.
Star Trek's happening. Except,
with water-powered jetpacks and shit.
Except it's more like a dystopia, but whatever.
So, there was a new... This is interesting. This is not so much for what it shows, but there was a new Super Superhero Wars trailer. You know that one coming out where they're trapped in video game world and they all have to murder each other?
Yes.
There's a new Super Superhero Wars trailer, and it really, really pushes Denno.
Oh my god, it does.
Because Denno is, Denno, I totally forgot, but 2017 is Denno's 10th anniversary. I always forget that Denno is right after Kabuto, it's 2007.
Because it's still happening. Like, the last Denno movie was like yesterday.
it still blows my fucking mind that there was an Oz and Denno crossover movie.
Yeah,
like, how the fuck?
The fuck?
How is it still happening? So Denno is its 10th anniversary, and they're pushing Denno real hard in this movie. But also, Denno's Blu-ray box sets are out. They're coming out. There's going to be 4 box sets. Jeff, you want to play a little game?
Are we going to play how much yens?
How much? Let's shoot me a ballpark in American dollars. How much do you think each of these sets cost us? Four. They each
four
have
sets.
Yeah, they each have, I think, 13 episodes and some extras. How much do you think?
$200.
You are right on the money. They're like 19,000 something yen. Yeah.
What the fuck, Japan?
I really like to watch Denno on my Blu-ray player. Let me just fucking remortgage my house and drop $800.
Liam's house is worth $800.
Look, it's I got it on a budget, okay?
It's mostly made of particle board.
I got a really good deal. It's made out of granola bars and hope.
$800 worth. Yeah, how, like, Denno is the most popular writer in, like, decades.
That's the one writer that I think they could charge that for. Yeah, people would probably pay for that gladly. They could charge $400 per DVD, and people would probably pay that with a fucking smile on their face.
I like Denno, and I still don't understand why it's so popular.
Just something about it, I guess, just lightning in a bottle with Denno. Just a combination of elements and things that everyone just fucking loved over in Japan. That's all
Japanese
I can say.
Japanese love trains and time demons.
Yeah, weird-ass slapstick crazy dude that gets possessed. I don't know. It's a cool thing. It's crazy.
Is there any more news?
No, that's it for my news segment.
Well, why don't we talk about the topic that Liam loves to talk about most and say Moshi Moshi Fies.
Moshi Moshi Fies. Ring, ring, ring. Phone call,
ring,
phone
ring,
call.
Ring, ring, phone call, phone call.
This week, the show kind of finishes setting itself up. It sets up the second major villain, the Angel Girl, and they all move into a
episode
laundromat
together. Episode
4.
Shit. Episode 5. Getting better. Episode 6, continuing.
I liked all of them. Still. But the show's flaws are becoming more apparent as
really?
I watch.
I thought episode 5 and 6 were the best of the lot so far. Not saying much. But
When they started the plot with the bullied girl, I said last week, oh, this is so lame, I hate it. I ended up thinking the exact same thing about it as I did with the horse orphanage, where I was like, this is lame, this sucks. And then I found out she was like a co-main villain, and I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, set it up a lot, be really melodramatic.
It's a weak-ass setup, but her character's place in the series is strong.
Yeah, and I like that she fucking brutally murders a whole gym full of girls. That's okay.
Yeah, it's like an affliction. You become an orphanok and you can't fucking help just murdering people that do you wrong.
Yeah, and the villains are also, like, really set up in this episode. They're advanced a lot, and they start to have misgivings about what they're doing. I feel like, what's the horse orphanok's name? Yuji. Yuji's character is a tad inconsistent. When he comes back, he just murders without remorse, and then suddenly he's like, wait, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't.
Well, he was fucking like a rage monster. He was all raged up, and he killed.
I guess. He's in a bad place in his
Why
life.
Why am I defending this shit?
Vice is garbage!
It is.
No, I really like it so far.
Here's the thing. I don't really like it.
Okay.
I think it's getting okayer as it goes along.
Okayer.
I remember disliking it consistently when I watched it the first time. But I'm trying my hardest to give it a chance. Because every time I say Fize is shit, nobody really backs me up. They just sort of like accept it. And then people start getting mad at me.
Those people who are mad?
People accept it or some people get mad. That's
those
it.
People, the mad people are right. Because the show, I like it a lot so far. I was in the Discord, which you should check out today if you want my hot.
You've never gone to the fucking
Discord. I went to the Discord while I was watching Fies this week. So if you want to hear my hottest takes on Fies, go to the Discord. And I was talking about it, and some people said it gets really shit around like the 20s when like it becomes unbearable. So I'm gonna see what it's like then. I don't know. Yeah. I'm really liking it so far, but I don't know. Maybe it'll get garbage. We'll see.
It's all right. Like I've warmed up to Takumi's character now that he has some sort of like reason for being the way he is.
I feel like he decides to take the belt in this one. He decides to be Fies, and I'm not sure what brought him around to that.
I don't know.
He, like, they're on a boat, and they've been attacked so many times, and he, like, up until that point, he just wants to get his underwear and leave, but at this, there's this moment when he's with the fucking laundryman, Keitaro, who I hate, and they've been browbeating him for so long, him and Mari, and he just goes, you know what, I'll take this belt, keep it from getting stolen again, and I'll also move in with you guys and do laundry with you, and I'm like, what? Like, yeah, if they had... If they'd had one, all they had to do was give Mari one, like, compelling speech, maybe. She's like, don't you believe, to have it, like, don't you believe in anything, you suck. Maybe this would be a path to finding your life, putting your life together. And then he'd be like, oh, maybe she's right. And then do that scene. That would have been good. But as of now, it just seems like a heel turn that's out of nowhere. I still love Takumi and Mari's little, like, they're definitely gonna fuck relationship.
It's fun, I guess. It's I don't like Keitaro. You're supposed to be like, oh, this poor man child,
yeah,
and his sad life. Don't you feel sorry for him? But he's fucking like,
I see enough mirrors unbearable. In my daily life. I don't need that in my show.
He's like fucking unbearable. Like, he's, and then like the fuck, there's a line in one of the episodes, I forget, that like perfectly encapsulates this series. It's like this back and forth between Takumi and a shop owner that he used to work for. Coffee shop owner. And the coffee shop owner says, I knew that you didn't steal the money, but I have no idea why you didn't speak up and just took the blame for it. That's the whole fucking series. Takumi, why don't you just talk? Why don't you just say what's happening?
Because he's incredibly socially stunted, and he's never had a friend before in his life.
What a fucking tool.
I feel like, Keitaro could be done differently. I like that he's there. I like that the girl, the boyfriend of one of the main antagonists is there. I think that's really interesting, and I hope they do something cool with that. But I feel like he's there as, like, this sort of moral compass, when Mari kind of already fills the role of the foil to Fize, and now he's got two foils, and it makes you feel almost bad for him, because he's just getting shit on. Yeah.
He's getting bullied.
Before, it's like, it's kind of cute, Takumi and Mari, because they hate each other, but they're like, they're stuck together, and like I said before, they are, oh boy, they're gonna fuck like squirrels in heat before the end of the show.
I don't feel bad for Takumi, fuck that guy.
I really like Takumi.
I like him too, but he's a shitter.
He is a shitter. I like, that's another thing I like about Takumi, is he is absolutely not a main rider. He's a main rider because he...
What? You haven't seen enough riders then, sir. There's a lot of dickhole main riders.
Well, I mean, okay, look before Takumi. I think we were talking about this before. You have all the Showa riders who are always heroic.
Three goofy guys.
And then you have three goofy guys who are also heroic. Takumi is like this, who's this guy? He's like, he's another sort of little paradigm shift. He's such a dick. And I like him. All
and
he wants is out.
Out-dicked later on.
I cannot wait for the other riders to start showing up.
People are saying that Kaiza is going to be your new favorite rider.
I like dickhole riders.
He's the biggest out of all of them. Nobody compares.
I cannot wait. I got my fill of Kaiza from Georgia, and now just as Georgia's ending, I'm going to get more Kaiza.
Yeah. Kaiza's actor does a really good job of being like a really intense, good-hearted guy.
I bet.
And Juojer.
Yeah.
But in Fize, he's just like a fucking monster.
Good.
He's
I've
like
seen
everything
that
that's wrong with humanity.
I've seen that smile of his.
Oh my god. if you were in the Discord when I was saying how much I hate Fize, I had only watched one episode at that time.
You mean one episode overall, or...?
I'd watched episode 4.
Oh, okay, one episode from this week, yeah.
Yeah, and then when I typed that I hate Fize into Twitter earlier, and hit send on that shit, I had only seen 1.5 episodes for this week. So I finished the second half of episode 5 and episode 6, and they were alright.
Well, I'm glad you're starting to like it. I'm glad you're starting to enjoy it a little.
I remember fucking hating Kaiza and shutting the show off after he had been around for a little bit. I was done.
There's a good exchange. As much as I don't like Keitaro, he's good for a couple moments. There's a great exchange where he's talking about his long-distance girlfriend in this episode. And he's like, oh yeah, she's my girlfriend, she's great. And Fi's like, I bet she's ugly.
I love that he doesn't even say, no, she's not. He's like, I don't know, I haven't seen her.
Yeah, he's got no idea. She could be fat, who knows?
is my favorite character was introduced in this episode, in the final episode of Snake Five Man? We watched. Snake Man. Who is genuinely hilarious to me.
He's like the crazy villain. The other two are like these really dark, bad, confused, morally gray, and then this crazy man.
Dear Ghost writers and fucking X8 writers, this is how you do a goofy side character, man.
Yeah, don't make him yell and constantly scream at the camera. Just have him do a quirk.
Put P's on the front of words and shit. Unnecessary. Cut that shit out.
I liked Fies more than X8 this week. Is that a sin?
I can't say I agree with that.
I liked Fies more than X8 this week. I'm gonna say it. I've started on a long, dark path.
Yeah, at least I didn't fucking hate my life when I watched the last two episodes of Fies.
Yeah, you're getting there.
So, like, when I watched the first three episodes, there were periods of time when I just fucking zoned out, and I was just staring at the screen, not absorbing any information that was coming at me. And episode 4 had a lot of the same, so I was like, eventually I'm going to turn it on and just go blank for a half hour.
That's when you're going to slip into your coma. It's going to last 3 years. And then you're going to come out and you're going to be a fucking orphanok.
Perfect.
That's it. What orphanok?
I mean, no.
Oh, no. What orphanok would you be?
Pile of shit.
Pile of shit? It's got to be an animal.
It has to be an animal. A pile of bullshit.
There you go. Be the bull orphanok.
There's already a bull orphanok.
Be the second bull orphanok.
Yeah, I could be Pug Juman orphanok.
That's me. I'm the Pug Juman.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the Pug orphanok.
I could be a turtle orphanok.
There you go. There's probably already one of those, but...
It probably is. I'm sure there's not a pug.
Definitely not, because pugs aren't threatening. No. What a pug do to you?
Why is a turtle threatening, though? They're so slow and friendly.
No, I could see a turtle, like, retreating into his shell and ramming you. I mean, not an actual turtle, but like a turtle monster.
Yeah, a turtle monster could. Like, a real turtle goes into its shell, it's completely fucking immobile.
You've never been rammed by a turtle when you go to the beach?
No. I'm a friend to all turtles. They would never do that to me.
I've been hit by a good couple turtles in my time.
That's a sentence I never really thought would exist in my ear holes.
One time back in college, I knew a guy who was huge into Dwarf Fortress, and he would play Dwarf Fortress between classes, and I'd watch him. And he would have a guy...
Hold on.
What?
You watched someone play Dwarf Fortress?
Well, I mean, we made small talk while he played. It wasn't just I was sitting there wordlessly staring. We were talking and he was
like
playing
Dwarf Fortress.
Fortress
is so full of, like... It has no graphics, and it's all just, like, text and numbers and, like, little blips.
But funny stuff happens. There's a mode where you just walk around, and it's like a big RPG adventure instead of building
like,
a fortress.
It's fun to play.
Yeah.
I just couldn't imagine it being fun to watch.
Well, I don't know. There I was. It was a different age. He was playing it, and he had
a
pet.
Wild and crazy college life you had.
I went to a very studious academic college. There were no parties there. Trust me.
I was getting high and fucking smoking dope.
Yeah, I bet you were. I bet you were smashing poos every weekend.
Poos. I played a lot of Contra.
So, this has gone way off, but I was watching this idiot play Dwarf Fortress. And his character had a pet turtle that he would carry around with him everywhere. A snapping turtle. And I would always ask him, why do you have the snapping turtle? And every time, he'd be like, just wait. And then eventually he got into an emergency, and some guy was chasing after him, and he pulled out the snapping turtle and threw it at the guy. And the shell conked the guy in the head, and then the snapping turtle started snapping at the guy, and it was chaos. So that's my Dwarf Fortress story. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for sharing with the class.
Thank you. I'll go sit down now.
Fies is... bad.
I like
it's
it.
All right. Like, the last two episodes were alright. I'll give it that.
There's some...
Never let it be said that I'm not a magnanimous person that I can accept when something's good after I've already called it shit.
Yeah, look, you watched
the Ghost.
I still
wouldn't call it good. I'd
you
call
finished,
it all right.
Yeah, you finished Ghost. You don't have anything to prove. Don't worry.
No. That's stubbornness more than anything. I was gonna outlast that fucking show.
And you did. Aren't you proud?
Yeah, I made it. My life's in fucking shambles now, but I made it.
There's a couple of the first vibes in the earlier episodes that I didn't like, but they kind of go away as the show goes on. And I like there's some sort of unintentional comedy in that Keitaro keeps bumping into his internet girlfriend and they don't recognize each other. They've never shared a photo, apparently, so...
Well, I don't know if phones could send photos back in those days.
I guess it's those old Pixel phones.
Yeah. Damn. Send a fucking ASCII art of yourself to me.
That's good.
Sayonara, Fies.
Sayonara, Fies. Thanks for calling. See you next week.
Suck my dick. Let's talk about Juojer. Let's
talk about Animal Sentai Juojer. This week, shit hits the fan.
In this episode of Juojer, Narya gets fucking murked.
Yeah, this is the penultimate episode of Juojer. Everything's building to a final showdown.
Narya's like, I'll go down and see. Oh no, I'm dead.
There's a neat little thing where it's both of the players of the Blood Game are dead. So he says, okay, we'll do one final thing. We'll do one final try at this whole thing. So he goes fucking Genis and injects his cells into the earth by shooting the arrow of the Sagittarii arc into the planet, and they have to go and get it. And I kind of like that about this episode. I like where it's just like everything's in chaos and we just have to do one thing. A bunch of people trapped in a situation and we got to get out. So that's sort of, there's a bunch of gifts. If you remember gifts, those bomb robots running all over the place. Gifto. And they're guarding the arrow. It's an action-packed episode. There's not a whole lot in the way of plot. But well, it was good.
There's the Yamato makes peace with his father. Which scene.
I liked that scene. I could have done without the ghostly shimmer of his mother, but other than that, it was good.
That was a little like episode two of Fizey.
Little the ghost. I could have done without the ghostly shimmer of his mother riding past on a tandem bicycle with another man, but it was okay. That having been said, I loved this episode, and I loved the build-up to the climax that's happening, and I love that Narya does something. I appreciate that.
I love that they have such an unconventional way of defeating the problem. Like, when they go in, they're like, we can't cut it, what can we do? I've got an idea. I was like, they're going to go destroy the Sagittarii arc, right? Or they're going to pull it out of the... When they're like, we'll pull it, and I'm like, cool, they'll pull it out of the ground. But no, they pull the Sagittarii arc down to the planet Earth and smash it into a fucking mountain.
That's how you do it. You gotta use the power of the Earth. Literally.
That's cool.
Yeah, I liked that scene a lot. This episode is full of giant robot action, and they use the robot in an unconventional way.
There are two moments in this episode that made me laugh, but in a good way.
Okay.
Specifically, when, like, Narya's running her mouth at the Juojers, like, oh, your dream is impossible or whatever, and they transform, and she's like, ha ha ha, whatever. And they just pull out their fucking Juo cubes and call the giant robot already, and she's like, what? What's happening?
When they yank
the fucking Sagittarii arc down, it looks like Genis is going to be sitting there all cool, like, ha ha ha, this isn't going to hurt me. But then it does, when it goes to the close-up, he's like, what's happening?
This is like the Dungeons & Dragons session, where your players do shit that you never planned for. And you're like, wait a minute, They figure out one fatal flaw that you just never thought of, and they bring the shit down.
For some reason, you never thought of yanking a fucking satellite out of the sky and slamming it into a mountain.
But hey, if you've got an all-powerful giant robot, you might as well try it.
And I love that they all, like, Beasts Unleashed
to
get more power. I thought that was cool as
while
shit.
While they're in the robot. I really like the non-standard robot use. I'm usually, I know I've said this before, I'm really bored with Sentai robot fights, even in good shows like Juojer. I like that they use the robot in a way that isn't... It's always like they transform, they do a couple moves... And then they use the... And it blows up the monster and the episode's over.
Juojer has, like, a lot of really... I've lost a word. You just fucking said it. Unconventional.
Unconventional.
Juojer has a lot of unconventional choices that other shows haven't really done. And I appreciate the shit out of that.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I like the show.
It's not stuff that's, like, crazy out of the box, but it's stuff that's just different enough that you're like, wow, I didn't think they were going to do that.
Yeah, Sentai has a very, very entrenched formula.
Juojer doesn't smash the formula or anything like you smash the patriarchy.
What the fuck?
Does do a good job of switching
where did that
it up.
Come from?
I don't know. I haven't slept in 2 weeks. Damn it!
You should record this while you sleep.
Yeah, I'm actually sleeping right now. Words are just coming out.
The other day, I sleepwalked all the way to my living room and to my fridge and pulled something out of the fridge before I woke up and was like, wait a minute, I was dreaming.
What?
It was like 3 in the morning, and I thought there were guests in my house, and I dreamed there were guests, so I went to get food. I put on clothes and went to get food, and I was like, I gotta entertain the guests. And then I had the food in my hand, and I was standing in the middle of the room, and I was like, wait a minute, none of that was real.
Liam, are you a fucking Looney Tunes character? I didn't know people actually did that.
No, it actually happened to me just a few weeks ago.
Jesus. Like, I haven't had a... I just wake up every fucking, like, 35 minutes every night.
That's nasty.
And, like, I only sleep, like, a grand total of, like, 4 to 6 hours.
Ugh.
It was one night I slept, like, fucking 3 hours.
Even. That sucks.
It was the worst.
That sucks. Bad nights.
That's neither here nor there.
That's neither here nor there. Georgia was great this week. I can't wait for the finale.
Yeah, the finale is going to be fucking amazing. It's going to be real heartfelt.
Yeah, I hope so.
I love that the Geodrs refuse to go back to Zooland.
They don't want to run and hide.
They got to save the planet.
Yeah, they want to make a world where everyone can be friends.
I was sad that Bard didn't transform and fight with them.
Well, he was probably going to die if he did it anymore.
And it doesn't look like he's going to do it next episode either.
Yeah. That's another thing we find out.
You know what would be fucking great? If Larry got, like, a Geocube in the last episode and became Geo-Gorilla and fought with them.
He'd be all orange gorilla.
He'd be like a different shade of orange.
Yeah. That's another thing. We always talked about how, oh, Bard's using his life force and he's going to die. And that's kind of true. He's drawing from Earth's energy or whatever, and he's going to die if he keeps transforming.
Yeah.
So that's nice. It's not an earth-shattering revelation because we basically already knew, but it's good to have it confirmed.
It was heavily implied.
Yeah. Jeff.
Yes, sir.
What is in the mail?
Well, we got a decent amount of mail this time. Let me pop open that mailbag and I'll read you some.
All right, layer on me.
Our first email is from Zolgheim, who sent this email in probably like 5 minutes after we like hung up talking to each other.
Yep.
Which happens a lot. People don't send your emails at like 11 o'clock at night.
unless we say we're recording. Unless you want to wait till next week to hear them read.
He says, so anyway, hoping there's still time. There wasn't.
Mm.
The question I popped at the Discord was about favorite and least favorite female leads. I think it wasn't asked yet.
So it wasn't.
Who is your favorite and least favorite female lead?
Tackle and Poppy, respectively.
Yeah, that's good.
That's or maybe good. Maybe Mari. I like Mari. But I haven't finished the show, so I don't know.
I liked Kiriko a lot.
Yeah, Kiriko's cool.
I liked Kiriko a lot, especially early on. Yeah, especially early on in the series, I liked her a lot.
Yeah.
Fucking least favorite's Poppy, by far.
Poppy is a plague.
She's a peepo plague on the planet.
I was just gonna say, Poppy peepo plague.
About Fize, it's amazing how the first Monster of the Week plot we see is literally the very first entry in the Creepypasta's wiki list of worst repeated cliches. The soon-to-be murderous children with cartoonishly abusive parents and or one-dimensional bullies.
I giggled like a schoolgirl at the schoolgirl and her fucking parents.
Yeah,
I was like,
that was unbelievably cartoonish.
Their daughter comes home from school really late and all freaked out, and they're like, "Oh, it's you, yeah, fuck off, kid." Like,
yeah, we fucking hate your guts. We adopted you for some reason, but you're a fucking bitch.
We do, fuck you, and then they kick her out because,
or she's like a half sister. Who gives a shit?
I don't know. She shoved her sister down, and they're like, "Get the fuck out of this house forever. Die on the streets." I appreciate that they're trying to give the villains a reason to be so misanthropic, but like everyone around both of them is just such a dick.
Yeah, it's like exactly like this person said though. It's like a cartoon.
Yeah,
it's so outlandish.
Great.
I can't take it seriously because of that. We got an email from Satoshi, which is two words.
Satoshi. Not Satoshi, not the kid from Pokemon.
Satoshi.
Okay.
Who says that they doubt that the info that was revealed in that episode was all that Kiria learned from Dan's dad. That probably relates to what happened 16 years ago when Emma was a child and not what happened 6 years ago. My question is, what do you think actually happened during Emu's original surgery 16 years ago? I don't think anything happened.
You don't think there's anything weird about that?
No. The dude was set up to be like a saint, and then it was revealed that he was a saint at the end of the episode. It's not really Kamen Rider style to have him come back later and end up not being a saint.
Well, I remember when Kiria was gathering the info, one of the things he did was talk to the nurse about the surgery 16 years ago. That was when he was gathering...
And then the nurse said it was perfectly routine.
I bet he found something there that he wasn't supposed to. They wouldn't have showed the scene if it wasn't going to result in something.
It was supposed to show that it was a dead end, and he was having trouble figuring out the truth.
You're a dead end.
I know. Have you never watched any detective fiction?
Okay, but this isn't a detective show. It's Kamen Rider.
He was being a detective.
There's got to be something about that surgery.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I could be proved wrong and everybody can point and laugh.
If there's something about that surgery, you owe me $63 American dollars.
By that time, it'll be worthless, so sure.
Okay.
our next email is from @sunglasspre. Who says, I just wanted to comment on something you mentioned about this past week's episode of X-Aid, number 15. You're right that Dan's reveal feels very abrupt and has no real build-up. It's because Dan is deliberately feeding Taiga only half the story about Emu's backstory in order to get him off his tail. If you remember, Kiria also discovered something that connected Dan Kurodo to Emu from even earlier, before the Pac-Man incident. Really? I don't remember before the Pac-Man incident. I just remember there being a connection.
There's got to be something about the surgery, I'm telling you.
Maybe.
That's a solid theory. I like the Pac-Man. I like use the Pac-Man incident to refer to it.
The Pac-Man incident.
The nefarious doctor wore a plastic yellow mask for no reason.
Just goes to show how good Dan is at manipulating the other characters that most of us in the audience didn't notice the trick either.
We'll see. X8's been pretty good about stuff like that so far, so maybe there'll be a good reveal later.
Oh, wait. I guess I need a question to go along with this. Shit. Well, since Goro / Bando / the serial killer dude from Amazons is now playing the main antagonist in the new Garo miniseries, what other writer actors would you like to see show up in the Garo universe? Don't know how familiar you are with the franchise, but I think it'd be interesting to hear your opinions.
Yeah, Jeff, this is for you.
Congratulations on over 100 episodes, and here's to more from the future. Sent from my iPhone. That was a mysterious message at the end.
Why did you include that? I don't care. I don't need to know. You know, it'd be great if...
There have been a lot of Kamen Rider actors to show up in Garo, though. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot. I mean, even fucking Decade was a villain in one series.
Yeah.
But the one that caught me off guard was that porn actress being in it. That was the weirdest.
Hitomi Tanaka?
Henri Okita.
Oh.
I looked it up later.
I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure you didn't recognize her on site, yeah.
I didn't recognize her name. I recognized her on site. But I had to look up her name later, and now it's burned into my mind like a lot of other images. But
is she the one that shows ass? I know there's a girl who shows ass in Garo.
She shows booby tits.
Oh.
She shows the full titty balls.
All titty.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Garo skimps on the titty, but it's you get more titty than other tokusatsu for it's sure.
100% more titty than has ever been in Kamen Rider.
That's the thing that always cracks me up. In the first series of Garo, there's like boob in the first episode. There's just tits in the first 5 seconds of the first episode. And then it happens again later in that episode. And then never again.
If
it's like, thank you for watching our program, have some tits.
If Kamen Rider was on HBO, it would be Garo.
Yeah, I made that joke in the Discord already, so don't write in to tell me I'm recycling my material. I always do that. You're just not around me enough to tell.
But that's another thing. Hang out at the Discord to find out how huge frauds we are.
Yeah, how we just fucking use your jokes back at you and you don't notice.
Oh, I'm going to do that this week. I'm going to steal one guy's joke word for word and see if he notices from the Discord.
If any of our fans were funny, we'd do that.
Fuck
all of y'all. Yes. Turn it off if you don't like it.
Yeah, fuck you.
You'll come crawling back. Yeah, if I could pick one actor, probably like Ren Kiriyama. I'd love to see him in Gaara. That'd be fucking great.
Who does Ren Kiriyama play again?
His name is familiar. Shotaro.
Yeah.
Dude, I would love to see him.
I always think of Ren Akiyama.
Yeah,
I always confuse
the two. Fucking husbando.
My
program.
Favorite man. Yeah.
Yeah, Ren Kiriyama, or it would be really fucking hilarious if like Joe Odagiri did Gaara.
Oh my god, that'd be ironic. He would never stoop so low.
He's like, I would never stoop so low to be in Kamen Rider. Please watch the new season of Gaara, starring me.
That would be like an insult to Toei. That would be like the Garo people like taking a shot at him.
Oh yeah.
That's good.
So that's my choice.
Okay.
I would like to see Henri Okita.
That's it. I'd like to see Hitomi Tanaka in Kamen Rider or in Garo. That's my choice.
I would like to see Lexi Bell.
There you go. Garo.
Our next email is from James, who says, with the reveal from last week's episode of Emu being the where the Bugsters came from, does that technically make him Asuna's father? Dun, dun, dun.
Does that mean they can't fuck?
You and fucking in these shows. This isn't Garo.
I don't sense a single bit of chemistry between Emu and Asuna.
No, not at all. You know what's weird?
What?
I talked about playing the Wolfenstein The New Order, right?
Oh, yeah.
And there's just, like, it's like normal scenes in, like, a normal video game, and then just it'll cut to a scene of, like, BJ Blazkowicz just fucking a lady.
And I'm you have like, to this convey the kind of man he is.
This isn't jarring or unnecessary whatsoever.
It's just like in the original Wolfenstein game.
It's just in the original Wolfenstein where you would press a button on a wall and it would slide open and reveal some health packs and a lady to fuck.
Yeah. Great video game classic.
On to the questions.
Okay.
First, this may be a little bit too early, but what do you guys want the X8 movie villain to be based on? A, current gen games, or B, knockoffs and bootlegs from the 8-bit and 16-bit era? Gavon Bootleg is an official villain, so hopefully Chon Toei gets the hint.
I think knockoffs and bootlegs would be really interesting, like have him be...
Yeah.
You could have an excuse for a recolor rider then. And he could be
they'd love that shit.
He could be like fucking Dark Mighty Brothers.
I was just about to wait for you to say Dark X-Aid, and I was going to be like, are you dumb?
No, I was actually going to say Dark X-Aid, that's why I stopped myself. You could have like a cheap Indonesian Mighty Brothers double X. I don't know.
I would like the movie villain to be like a genuine like computer game writer. Like PC writer.
Yeah. What if the movie villain was just going outside and playing games outside?
What if the movie villain was like, there was just a bunch of them, and it was like Hopscotch Rider and Tag Rider.
Playground Rider.
That would be fun.
That would be a good time. Yeah.
Exercise Rider.
the fucking best villain of them all.
I think the villain in the movie is going to be Drunk Dad with a Belt.
Oh, yeah. The ultimate destroyer of video games.
I think it's going to be... the villain of the movie is going to be your mom after you move away from college. The ultimate destroyer of video games.
She takes all X-Aid's gashats and sells them at a yard sale. Whoops, I didn't know you still needed them to fight Bugsters.
Sorry, I sold them all for 50 cents each. For real, though, I don't know.
Who knows? We'll see.
Super Monkey Ball Rider.
Super Monkey Ball. Hey, I like that game.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
You could have it based on shitty modern games full of DLC and microtransactions. And...
yeah, the villain of the fucking movie is Capcom.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. You could have Capcom and EA and Activision.
Yeah.
Secondly,
you guys talked about the best, but now what is your guys' worst Kaijin designs? Have a good one. And he also included a newspaper photo that says Kamen Rider Knight Rider Punches Voyeur.
Yeah.
Which is great.
That's a good headline.
So what is it? What's the worst Kaijin design? Mine is the T-Rex
Dopehead. Oh, I was gonna say fucking T-Rex Dopehead, I swear to God. The first thing that popped in my head when you said worst Kaijin was the T-Rex from Juojer.
Yeah, no.
Which is the T-Rex Dopehead. So yeah,
The T-Rex Dopehead is the worst. It looks way worse than the one from Juojer.
The Money Dopehead is pretty ugly, I remember.
Yeah. The Sweets Dopant is also really ugly.
Just Dopants are terrible.
I like a lot of the Dopants.
The Dildo Monster pretty... from Ghost was pretty hideous.
Yeah, that was fucking atrocious.
God, a lot of bad ones.
Pretty much any of the, like, fucking... the Ganma who were just the same suit with shit taped to the top of it, they look terrible.
Oh yeah, that was fantastic, yeah.
Oh, the Ganmisers, all of them.
Ganmisers. Oh god, the Ganmisers were hideous.
Yeah, Ganmisers are the worst.
Oh, they were the ugliest suits.
I choose Ganmisers. I would rather have a million T-Rex Dopants for the rest of Kamen Rider history than have fucking Ganmisers.
Don't even remind me of the Ganmisers. Shit.
Our next email
'Kay.
Is from Jake. Who says, hey Jeff and Liam, love the clashing opinions in Moshi Moshi Fies, but wow, I gotta say if Liam already likes this series from the early episodes alone, I can't imagine how high his opinion of it will skyrocket once Kaiza gets added to the picture.
Yeah!
I'm fully expecting Kusaka to be Liam's favorite character.
I can see it, I've heard things about him.
Jeff, you've described Fies as a series perfectly with the choice of overdramatic. I still stand by that.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Man, I wish Paradox would just do all his fights in Knockout Fighter from here on, because that form is growing fast on me. That form is the coolest form we've gotten in a while, since Dangerous Zombie.
I like the jingle for Knockout Fighter.
It's alright.
I like that it's like from a guy who's clearly an actual English speaker, like a perfect accent. I love that.
He does a really cool, like... boxing announcer angry accent. I love it.
Yeah, it's a good voice.
Fucking... I love that it's Palad literally... Parod fucking...
Parod, yeah.
I love that it's Parod literally and figuratively getting fired up and the shoulders form... and the shoulder forms flying down to lock into the gauntlets is awesome.
Yep.
His punch sound effects feel like Gekitotsu robots to me, and the KO sound dying off from his gachet is a nice finishing touch to the critical smash.
So,
I agree.
Yeah, Paradox is a cool rider. I like him.
His fucking puzzle form is actually growing on me a little bit too, honestly.
I like the turtleneck and the fucking... what is that style of hair called?
It's like he's got like a long fucking fringe in the front.
It's got a name, a something lock. Like a rat lock or something. I don't know.
Point lock?
No, I don't remember.
With Emu's whole Patient Zero deal being revealed in the Dr. Pac-Man movie, I'm reminded that this isn't the first time a Rider series has done this, having some detail that would be really relevant to the story get revealed in a movie or special. Hypothetically, how much better would a Rider series be if details like that were integrated into the regular episode lineup instead of as a dedicated flashback episode? Like Drive's Type Zero episode, Countdown to the Global Freeze...
I like the show to be completely
self-contained.
Self-contained, yeah. I don't want to have to watch a movie to get it. I
agree
prefer.
Wholeheartedly. We're gonna watch the movies anyway, but it's like we don't get them here for so long that I just can't justify information like that being revealed in the movie.
Yeah, I like the best kinds of movies are the ones where it's just like here's a little side adventure we had on the way, and it has a beginning, middle, and end, and it doesn't link to the story.
Exactly.
That's fine. Yeah.
But when it has, like, a big to-do with the rest of the story, I don't know. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, me neither. I don't like to have that. I don't like when it has wide-reaching implications in the actual show. I just want to watch the show and watch the movie and have them be separate. I don't like to mix the two. It's like when you watch a comic book movie and you're like, oh, it's not that good. And then someone goes, well, if you read the comics, you'd be... Well, I don't want to have to read the comics to get it. I just want to watch the movie. You fuck ass. Well,
Number one, anyone who says you need to read the comics to understand the movie is like a giant fucking idiot, because the movies aren't anywhere close to based on the comics ever.
Yeah, it's true.
They're just general ideas from certain stories that they just completely change.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you were looking for was the people who cry that you need to understand what was in the book.
Yeah, that's the one.
If you read the book, you'd like it more.
Yeah, that's it. That's what people get a lot more.
Question two, any favorite writers among the ones that are mainly gunners? His memes, which I didn't know about until you guys mentioned it in an earlier episode, withstanding, my pick goes to Garen from Blade.
Ooh, favorite gun writer?
Oh, man. It might be Garen for me, honestly. But I like, I don't know, maybe G3X?
Oh, G3X is good. I might go with Zolda.
Zolda.
I like Zolda a lot. Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say Zolda. I like Zolda. I like the Magnavisor. I love his final attack. And I like... I forget the guy's name. I forget his fucking name. I'll just call him Zolda.
Kitaoka?
Hidaoka, yeah. I like his whole, like, dickish, smug, rich guy attitude.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Garen from Blade, honestly. Like, his character was, like... As much as I hate to make a Sonic the Hedgehog reference, his character was like Knuckles, and then he just continually gets tricked by the same people over and over and over again.
Sounds good to me.
To the point where it almost becomes comical, but I love him.
I like Knuckles.
Question three, since Paradox has a dedicated transformation portrait all to himself like Genmu, who do you guys think the last unrevealed square in the gamer driver selection is for? Thanks, and looking forward to the next episode as always, Jake.
Is there another unrevealed square? I thought the only one was for double riders.
I don't know. I didn't pay attention.
I didn't see any. If there is one more unrevealed square, then it's for when Kyria comes back to life with the super belt.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's totally going to happen. I saw my dad is Toei, and he gave me the script.
Your dad's John Toei? No wonder you got this fucking position.
Yeah, I got a reveal to make.
Fucking, no wonder Tomas lost his job.
My dad is watching right now, and if I say anything bad about him, he's gonna stop feeding me.
Aren't you a fucking adult?
That's what I keep telling him.
I'm gonna come to your house and destroy all the food in your fridge.
He's got the key to my apartment. He just takes all my milk.
Our last email isn't really a question. It's just Zolgheim pointing out that doing three episodes of Fize a week might not work very well, since it's been like a two-parter episode structure for the most part. He might have a point.
How about we're gonna keep doing it?
Yeah, fuck it.
We might. I don't know. We might change it if it really
seems
like it's not
working. Maybe we'll
do zero. I'm gonna watch this with or without you, Jeff.
You can watch it, but we ain't talking about that shit.
We're gonna talk.
You know
about
what?
It.
I didn't think I was gonna be able to have time to watch the last two episodes of Fize today, or this week. So I was just gonna not tell you that I didn't watch them and pretend like I had for the
you
whole time.
Thought you were so smart.
Or did I do that anyway?
I don't know. Well, you brought up the snake guy before I said anything, so you must have watched it.
Maybe I watched the episode preview.
Maybe you're really smart.
Maybe I'm just the smartest man ever.
Maybe.
Probably not. So thanks for writing in, everybody. We appreciate all your emails and your patronage. Send money.
Send it all.
Send your paycheck to Rider Club Radio, P.O. Box 738, Orlando, Florida, 29735.
Why is our P.O. box like 7,000 miles away from where either of us live?
It feels safer that way.
Okay, yeah.
That way no one there. That way no one can get into it, including us. So thanks for writing in. And you know what? If you'd like to write in to us,
here we go.
You can write in to writerclubradio@gmail.com, and we'll read it on the air, or not.
If it's good. Or you can shoot us a tweet that's at writerclubradio. No spaces, no caps, no numbers.
And we do funny jokes on the Twitter. We do, like, quick streams once in a blue moon.
Check out our Discord.
Yeah, the Discord link is in the Twitter description.
It's on Twitter, it's on the blog, it's going to be in the YouTube too. You have no excuse.
People go in there and talk about, I'm guessing, Kamen Rider. I don't go in there. But they seem to have fun.
It's mostly so about video games and how our week's been going, so.
Liam, you've never even been.
I went there while I was watching Fize, and we had a great time.
The best thing is, the whole time I'm in there, because I'm in there more often, they're just like, when's Liam coming in here? He's never here. And I'm like, I don't know, I'm not his fucking keeper.
That's what? I thought you were supposed to be.
Well, that's what the fucking state says.
Yeah, that's since when they enact any laws.
Yeah, that's what the fucking state government tells me at the hearings. But, you know what? Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Good night.
Peace.
の戦士だ熱く皆ぎる闘志と胸には花心に愛溢れさせ君は輝く戦士だ燃える瞳煌めかせ凄んだ荒野に挑め優しき心に辛すぎる悲しみに 出会ったら獣のように叫べばいいさ星心に夢忍ばせて君は輝く戦士だ怒りと勇気秘めて再び嵐に挑め優しき心に重すぎる苦しみに出会ったら身を震わせて叫べばいいさ